We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench, chilling with Moff. And, I mean, things are escalating quickly. 1 minute, the Clippers are up 44-43, and then boom, it's 51-44 Jazz in less than 30 seconds. It was like boom, 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 and then they're down. So they're up, they're down. Now they're having to fight their way back. George just hit a shot. They're still down five. And now Ingles, oh, no, it was Bogdanovich hits a three. I mean, it's just getting out of hand real fast. I mean, you're up 1 minute. The next minute, you're down eight. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, you can't even make this stuff up. Bogdanovich has 23 points in the first half, 8 of 9 from the floor, 7 of 8 from downtown. Here's an idea. Maybe someone should guard him. You know what I mean? Like, they're just letting this guy go off, and they are literally not guarding him. He is standing in the corner right now by himself. He's got another three ball right here. He missed. But Gobert gets the follow dunk. Here's the deal. If they're not going to guard him, he's going to have 50 points. I mean, they're just not guarding him. It's unbelievable what I'm watching. You know what this reminds me of, Mafia, watching the Clippers blow in this game? It reminds me of Doc Rivers coaching them. I mean, honestly, Daryl Morey, you cannot tell me that he has to, like, not consider. He can't blow off the realization that his coach is an idiot. I mean, honestly, like, how in God's name do you blow two games in a row, 18 and 26-point leads, to a team that's not as good as you? They are not as good as the Sixers. I don't care what you say. I'm sick and tired of hearing about Embiid's knee and his little mini meniscus tear, because anyone that can go out and play that many minutes and have 37 points and do what he does every night with you know, a bum knee and a you know, one leg and all this other rhetoric, don't cry to me. If he's so bad, you know what the deal is. See, like, Kyrie Irving rolls his ankle, he's out. Kawhi, knee, he's out, he's done. You know, Conley, hammy, done. I mean, I go on and on. But the reality is this. If he's so bad, then why in the F is he out playing and dropping 37 and playing that many minutes? He's playing the whole game, and he's dominating, and I guess if he was healthy, he'd have 50. But the bottom line is he is doing everything he always does, and I don't want to hear it. Bottom line is, they're better than the Hawks, and they're getting their ass beat, and it's because their coach is an idiot. He really is. He leaves Ben Simmons in. Now, listen, I'm done listening to people tell me about Ben Simmons. He sucks, okay? Let's stop with all this Ben Simmons BS and the fact that he gets all this juice and all these accolades, that he's this great player, and all he can do is, and I will not deny he can defend and he can dunk and he can, you know, drive to the rim. I won't deny that. He can dish, drive, dunk, finish, lob, whatever. But he has absolutely zero, I mean zero game anywhere else. He has no mid-range. He has no three. He has no free throw. He is a liability. He is terrible. And that is all there is to it. Look at the numbers. They don't lie. All you have to do is watch him play. He is as tentative as anyone I've ever seen in my life playing basketball. Meanwhile, we welcome in our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sportsman App, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio, is Farrell on the bench. So all I know is Ben Simmons sucks, and this guy, Doc Rivers, just keeps playing him, just keeps running him out there the whole game. And he played 37 minutes. Look, I mean, you must be stupid. You've got to be stupid to leave that guy out there when you see that the other team, Nate McMillan and the Hawks, are fouling him every time he touches the ball. And he goes 4-14 from the line. And it worked. And they were down 26, and they come back and won. The other night they did it. They were down 18, they came back and won. They had no business winning game 4. They had no business winning tonight. And yet they won the game 109-106. All I need to know, it was all laid right out on the table for me tonight at the dinner banquet. It was real simple. Doc Rivers sucks. He's an idiot. I don't care what anybody says. You can kiss my ass. He's the most overpaid, overrated coach in the NBA, bar none. I'm sick of hearing it. I just rattled off, literally, all of his failures. I'll do it again. I'll be here all day. You know what? I don't have time to go all the way back to 2009. I'm just going to blow up 2010, 2012. Let's go to 2013 on. 2013 on in LA. Trust me, 9, 10, 12, all fails, all series fails for Boston after they won the title. Okay? Now you're up in LA. Up 3-2 on the Grizzlies, lose the series, lose game 7 at home. 2014, blow a 15-point lead in game 5 versus OKC, lose the series in 6. 2015, blow a 3-1 lead to the Rockets, boom. 2016, Clippers up 2-0 on the Blazers, lose 4 straight, boom, you lose. 2017, lose game 7 at home to the Jazz, boom, you lose. 2020, blow a 3-1 lead to the Nuggets, lose the series 4-3, boom, you lose. And then game 4 blows an 18-point lead, game 5 tonight a 26-point lead. Doc Rivers sucks. He's an idiot. I repeat, over and over.
These days, it's hard to find something you can trust. Your car?
Yeah, right.
Trust takes time, and that's why we're here.
24 hours a day.
7 days a week. We are your trusted source for gaming odds
and more.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, so it's Jazz 62-54 on the Clippers, and Mavi and I were just watching the game and noticing how naked they are without Kawhi Leonard. It's changed everything. Their defense has no chance to do anything. It's, you know, Bogdanovich is having this huge half because they have nobody to guard him. Even if they had somebody to guard him, they're not guarding him. Guys had a huge half. They're getting all the calls, every call Utah's getting. And they're in Salt Lake. They're not losing this game. Like, if they lose this game, I will keel over. Now, I saw Philadelphia blow that game, so anything's possible. But the way they're shooting, the way they're hitting, the way Spider's playing, the way Bogdanovich is hitting, and they got Gobert blocking shots and dunking balls. I mean, it is. This is just easy work. This is easy work. I don't see how. It's like Mitch Lawrence said, how can they win this series without Kawhi Leonard? I'll tell you another thing. Kawhi Leonard, if he has an ACL, because that's what it led to. First, it was he had a knee sprain, and now it's he's got an ACL. If he got an ACL, he's done. And I'm talking about this year. He's done until next playoffs. He'll be done for the whole season. And then he'll, at best, show up for the playoffs next year, at best. And the question is, will he even be on the Clippers is another question. Now, he's from L.A., and he might very well love it there and all the rest. But who knows? Because he can go wherever he wants. So if he blows out his knee, has ACL surgery, and misses a year, why would he go back there? Just go somewhere else and start over. He's going to miss a year anyway. Who knows? Joe is in Florida. You're on a bench. What's up, Joe?
What's up, brother?
Hey, man.
You're not wrong about Doc Rivers. Just give me a second if you can. I think coaching in general in the NBA is very, very overrated. You know, people talked about Phil Jackson as this great coach, for example. Yeah, he was a great coach because he coached Michael Jordan, and then he went and coached Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal. That's why he was right. A great coach. It's kind of comical. Here's the thing. Doc Rivers absolutely is drinking bleach before these games, and he's not making any sense in his decision-making. He's got to take Simmons out. The reason I called is we got to put some damn accountability on Embiid to hit them free throws. We got to make sure Harris can make a play down the stretch. We got to put some accountability on these damn players. We got to get Simmons in the gym to learn how to shoot a bleeping jump shot, a two-footer or a four-footer, because it's bleeping disgusting what I'm watching out here. We just can't blame the coaches because these these players, they're soft and they, you know, they might have some lady parts attached to them at times. We can't just blame the coach. I love you, man. Peace and love.
Now, listen. Hold on, Joe. Let me live in all fairness. Let's say this. Embiid tonight was 11 of 13 from the line. He missed the two at the end that meant the world to them when they were down three. He needed to make those. There's no denying that. But when you go 11 of 13 from the line, I got nothing to say to you. When you go 12 of 20 from the floor and hit 2 of 4 from downtown, 50% of your threes, and you hit 12 of 20 from the floor and 11 of 13 from the line, and you got you're playing on one leg, and you got this meniscus tear, I got nothing but respect for Embiid. He had 37 points. He had 4 block shots, 13 rebounds, and 5 dimes on one leg. He's not the problem. Now, fair enough. This is real simple. Curry was 3 of 4 from the line. Korkmaz was 3 of 5 from the line. Milton was 2 of 2. Nobody else shot a free throw in the game. I mean, no one. They literally, they were 23 of 38, but it was just those guys. It was Embiid's 13, 14 from Simmons, 4 from Curry, 5 from Korkmaz, and 2 from Milton. Nobody else shot him. And nobody else had a problem. When you're 2 of 2, 3 of 5, 3 of 4, I got no problem with 11 of 13 or any of those numbers. All those numbers are solid, except Simmons. Simmons sucks. I will give you this. You cannot have Milton have 5 points when he plays at home and had 14 the last game. You cannot have Thibault give you 6. He sucks. Maxey gives you 0. Dwight Howard gives you 0. No points, 8 rebounds. I mean, the guy's 7 foot. He can't throw one down. He can't throw one down. He can't dunk. Korkmaz has 8. Simmons 8. Harris 4. Now, Harris was 2 of 11 tonight from the floor and 0 of 3 from downtown and shot no free throws. Tobias Harris was an absolute lobotomy tonight. He was so awful. I'll give you that. You're right. You got to have some accountability on the team. Here's who deserves it. Tobias Harris was torturous tonight to watch play basketball. And meanwhile, he's supposed to be a star. Ben Simmons flat out sucks. I'm done listening to anybody tell me that he's got any kind of game at all other than defending and dunking. That's it. He's got no other game, 0. He should be playing in my rec league the way he shoots. He's terrible. He really is terrible. He's a terrible player. He really is. He's a terrible player. He's scared to death of a mid-range or a 3 or a free throw. Anyone that is scared of those 3 things is not a baller. I don't care what you say. He's a monster player with his size and speed and strength and muscles. I mean, the guy's a freight train running down the lane with the ball. There's no denying. But that's his only ability. He only has one feature. He can drive and dunk. That's it. He can drive and shoot a scoop layup. So what? My mother can do that, and she's dead. Here's the deal. Their coach sucks. All their players suck. Simmons sucks. Harris sucks. And Embiid's the only guy on the team that can play. And Embiid's going to get $195 million to prove it because they're going to give him a supermax. The rest of that team, you can get rid of all of them. And I'll tell you what, Daryl Morey should fire that hack-ass coach of theirs. You know what? I've said it earlier. I'm going to say it again. He is the most overpaid, overrated coach I've ever seen in my life. I think he's an absolute drip, idiot, moron. I'm sitting there watching this guy leave this hack in the game when, I mean, literally, I don't care what you say. George Hill on acid is better than Ben Simmons at the free throw line, even though he was 0 of 2. Milton is better. He can shoot the 3 ball. He had 14 in the game before in Philly, in game 2 or whatever it was. And then he can't do anything on the road. He sucks. But, Thibault's in for defensive purposes, and Maxey played 1 minute, and he literally doesn't even matter on the team. He doesn't even matter. Like, this is the biggest, most overrated one seed I've ever seen in my life. The bottom line is this. They have one player. That's it. One. They have Embiid. Everyone else sucks. And everyone else is hair dryer city. They all hair dryer. Okay? You figure out what that means. And if you can't, you should go to bed anyway. There you go. I fire Doc Rivers. I don't want him anywhere near my team. You know why? He's bad effing luck. I've rattled off all of his failures. All of his failures. That guy has more failures as a coach than anyone I've ever seen. Like, disastrous failures. And only one season did he win, and he had three Hall of Famers on the team at the same time. I mean, that's like telling me that Eric Spoelstra is a genius because he had LeBron, Allen, and Bosch at the same time. He's a genius. What's he done since they left? Now, I won't deny they had a nice run in the bubble, but they lost. When you lose, you lose. When you lose, you didn't win. It's that simple. When you lose, you lose. That's it. So he didn't get it done. And ever since LeBron left, he's averaged two. That's it. Bottom line. Now, look, I know these coaches are hard to come by and to win big, but you cannot have all those playoff failures that I rattled off since 2009 and then tell me that he doesn't suck. No one can tell me that he's a good coach when all he does is fail. That's it. He's a failure, an utter failure.
Scotty, my buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
So there's 8 minutes left in Vegas in game two, and Montreal's up 3-1. And I just, I think this game's over. There's no way they're scoring twice on Carey Price. I don't care who they are. I don't care where they are. I don't care who's playing. I don't care how much money they make. That guy is not giving up two goals in 8 minutes. And if he does, I'll literally keel over because, Mafia, you know how good he is. Like, the only way they tie this game right now is a deflection, lucky deflections, a complete knuckleball bounce, some kind of deflected tip in off a skate, nothing clean. There will be no shots that he faces that he has a look at. Like, I don't even care if he's screened. No shot gets past him unless it's deflected or tipped or off a skate. There's nothing going in clean off of a shot. You cannot hit a shot from the point or the high slot or even the low slot or along the goal line or from either circle that you can beat him on at all with 7 minutes to go. You're not scoring on him with a clean shot. You might get a lucky deflection or a tip in or off a skate, but you're not getting a clean look goal on this guy. It's not happening. You know it. I know it. Just say it, Mafia. I want to hear you say it.
No, I agree with you 100%. It's got to be something crazy. Like you said, that, deflection bounces. We saw a couple of those in the first game, or maybe, the screen. And then when he saves that first one, somehow he's out of position because they're looking around the screen. And then there's, a guy for the wide open rebound. But it's going to be, keep shooting. You got to put pressure on him, shoot from all angles and hope something happens. But there's really little chance of that happening unless you get more pressure on him and get something crazy to happen your way.
All right, so they went up to Vegas in these two games, and they got their ass beat in game one, but they beat Vegas's ass tonight, and that's all there is to it. And they did it with, as I said earlier in the show, physicality and hitting. And I thought they dominated the puck at both ends with hard hitting along the walls, in the corners, behind the net. And frankly, in front of the net, I thought they built a wall in front of him. And I mean, there was a guy in front of him the entire game. There's one there right now, Edmondson, who had an assist in this game. But they have had a body in front of the net. There is no one. There is literally no one on Vegas's team anywhere near the net. They're not. They just. There's no one camping out or standing in the crease because they will get their head taken off. Montreal take a look in front of Price. There's nobody there ever because they're not letting it happen. And I'm telling you, as well as I know hockey, and you know it too, Mafia, what you're seeing tonight is very indicative of what they're capable of when they go to Montreal. If they play like this and play physically like this and clear out that crease and no one stands there the whole game. I mean, there wasn't one guy from Vegas in front of the net the whole night. You know why? Because they knew they were going to get their head taken off or they were going to get cross-checked in their face or in their body so hard that they were going to wake up crippled. They just scored a goal. I can't even believe it. But I'm telling you, Vegas is in it 3-2 now. And I got to say, it was a clean shot from the circle, unless I'm mistaken. So I'm telling you, you know as well as I do, if they play like this in Montreal, they can win games against Vegas again. This isn't going to be a 4-1 series. Everyone I know told me that Vegas wins this in 5 games at worst. No one's given Montreal any chance at all to win this series. No chance at all. Now, if they close this game out and win, let's say they don't blow it, up 3-1, you blow this game, then the series is over. You got to win this game now, Mafia, that they've let in a goal. I can't even believe he gave up a goal. I got to be honest with you. And I know you're stunned as well. It's 3-2 now, but if they play like this, let's say it was still 3-1. If they play like this in Montreal, you don't think they can win at least one of those two?
Yeah, they absolutely can. And, you know, that's something they got to continue. They did that in game one, too. You saw the stat previously there showing there's 52 hits by Montreal in game one. Everybody that touched the ice had at least one, most two hits. So, you know, it's something that they've tried to do. It didn't work as well in game one because there were some bounces that went Vegas' way. They got some good opportunities and took advantage of it. And that's the second goal of the game for Pietrangelo. He has both. It was a pretty clean shot from, you know, across on the circle. And I thought maybe he had caught a moving or something like that on the replay. He was there. I think the problem was that Pietrangelo shot at 5-hole through the defenseman. So I don't think he saw the puck until it was too late because he came through the defenseman's legs and then was past him. So a smart move by Pietrangelo to use the defenseman as a screen. But now they got to throw everything that they can at, you know, Vegas has to do it at Montreal. They need to tie this game up, have a chance to win it. Obviously, we know that they could be outplayed and still win. They got outplayed for half that Colorado series, still won games. So that's the danger for Montreal, is that you've kicked their ass this game. You were physical with them last game, too, but they got some lucky bounces. You cannot let this slip away. You cannot go back too. Otherwise, your confidence is going to be really shook going back to the Bell Center.
Yeah, if they blow this game, now there's a chance in front. They almost scored again, but he shot it wide. There's 4 minutes left, 3:57. If they blow this game, I mean, it's like, I almost feel like if they blow this game, because I don't see him actually getting swept, but if they blow this game, there's a chance that could happen because I don't know if they recover from blowing a 3-1 lead, but they're still up 3-2. They still have a lead. And you know Vegas, with a minute and a half left, are going to have to pull the goalie. They're going to have to pull Fleury and bring in the extra attacker. And that's where Montreal can get an empty netter and finish this game off. They got to win this game. You cannot blow a game. You're up 3-0.
Right. And just think about, you know, what we were saying before about this Vegas team where, you know, you're talking about, well, Fleury doesn't look right. Well, we said that in the Minnesota series, and they still won. Or, you know, Montreal's out playing, and they're dominating. They're physical with them. We said that in the Colorado series. They still came back and won. So that's the, you know, Vegas can kill you that way, is that you can do everything right and somehow they still get the win. And that's what just kills you. So Montreal needs this. They need this boost, you know, both confidence-wise and just obviously to tie up the series and, you know, steal a game, get home ice. But this is huge these last couple of minutes here. You cannot afford to let them score and tie this up. Even if you win this game in overtime, just the fact that they scored that last, you know, that one late in the second period when you thought you had complete control. And then if they score too late in the third period when you think it's all locked up, you can't have that happen. It just shakes you.
Do you think they're going to tie this game up and send it to overtime?
Earlier I would have said no. I'm starting to feel that way now, though, because they are putting the pressure all on them right now. Montreal's still doing a good job getting out to the points and not letting, you know, clean shots from there. They're getting body on body. But right now, Vegas has had all the pressure. You see Montreal start to ice the puck these last couple of minutes. And that's what led to that faceoff in the you know, Canadian zone that Pietrangelo had the shot on that scored that second goal. They're starting to look a little bit, you know, haphazard right now. Maybe a little gassed. I don't know. But right now, Vegas is putting all the pressure on these last 2 or 3 minutes.
And the crowd's going bananas. They're going crazy right now with their white towels and everything else. I mean, everything. It's the place is on fire. There's no atmosphere like that in the NHL. That arena is the craziest arena. But I still think that that barn Coliseum, which is a dump because it's so old, it smells, but it is, that atmosphere is better than Vegas. That scene in Long Island is, I mean, they are drunk and they are crazy and they are louder than Vegas, even with less fans. That's the loudest arena in the league, that Coliseum in Long Island. That's all there is to it. Now, this place is crazy, and it's the best show in the NHL without a doubt. The games in Vegas are unequaled, but that crowd in Long Island is better. It's rowdier, drunker, louder, and you can't even question it.
Yeah, I mean, especially with that building, the way that just pure concrete building that it is echoes the, you know, the fans' craziness. But also, I mean, Vegas has a great fan base. I'm not taking anything away from them. I'm not saying they don't, or, you know, accusing them of these other stadiums like you have in LA where, you know, it's pretty much a road game every game when you're home for the Chargers because you get more fans from the other side. But Vegas is still a destination for a lot of people around the league, a lot of fans. So while they do have a very great crowd that is always rocking, you do still have a lot of fans from other teams that show up for these games. You don't have that Long Island. You're not getting in the Coliseum.
Yeah, as a fan of the other
as
team,
visitor,
good luck.
No, you're not getting a ticket.
You'll get your ass beat. I mean, you'll get your ass beat there. That's all I know. Oh, they almost scored again, and he made an incredible save. And then they just had another incredible save on the doorstep. I mean, they are throwing everything at him, and he made two incredible saves there in a row with 2:56 left in the game. He just made two gigantic saves. Vegas is coming at him hard. I mean, it is unbelievable. I don't even know how he's surviving this. They are really throwing it all at him. They had a great shot on the doorstep. It was Stoner on the doorstep, and he had it, and he shot it up. You know, it was never saved. It deflected off his stick and just missed everything. That's what it was. So he didn't make a save on that one. He made a save on the first one.
Yeah,
but he did not make a save.
He knocked that off his stick.
Yeah, that did not go on goal. That was not a save. But I'll tell you what, they're throwing it at him. I'll give you that much. I mean, this is crazy. They had another big shot on. Another. He's making all kinds of saves. Oh, the humanity, Carey Price. Stoning the Knights on the doorstep with several. They got spraying him in the face with ice shavings, and he wasn't phased. It's still 3-2. Habitants. Pharrell on the bench.
Our goal is subtle,
but profound.
We want you,
Sporto,
to hold court at the company water cooler every Friday and Monday.
Get it?
That's the winning edge. All you gotta do is listen. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
I think Montreal's got a beef. Edmondson got plastered into the glass with his face by Carlson. No call at all. Obviously, they put the whistles away. There's 50 seconds left. I just saw McPhee and the owner Foley up in the owner's suite at the T-Mobile. Vegas down 3-2 here in game two. They lead the series 1-0. Montreal on the verge of stealing home ice and going back to the Bell Center in Montreal Friday night with a 1-1 series. And Carey Price up 3-2 here. Empty net for Vegas. Flurries off the ice. They got the extra attacker. And to be honest with you, they started it with a minute 39, and they've done nothing. They haven't had a single shot with the empty net because Montreal has dominated with the net empty. They just haven't allowed them anything. They haven't allowed them anything. They can barely get the puck into the zone, let alone give up a shot. Again, they turn it over in the neutral zone. This game's over. They can't even bring it up ice. Montreal has played their ass off. And they've dominated when they had the empty net, and they couldn't do anything. They just couldn't do anything with it. Now there's 20 seconds left. The puck goes into the crowd, but they're going to face it off to the right of Price. I'm sorry, Mafia, you're watching this. They haven't gotten one shot since they pulled Fleury with a minute 39 left. Not one even decent attempt, because Montreal has clamped down on them like mother for others, and this game's over. I can't believe that they can't even get a shot. Now, anything's possible. They could score in 20 seconds left. They could get a shot and score. I won't deny that. But they have not had one shot since they pulled Fleury, and you know it.
Yeah, listen, we were talking about how much pressure they were throwing on them. And once, you know, we talked about that with 3 minutes left or so, Montreal just went to a shell. Everything in the zone, every guy there, maybe send one guy up just to kill some time with it. But they're not putting on any kind of forecheck. They're just staying there at that blue line, three guys across the blue line, two guys back, and making sure it's hard for Vegas to even get in, let alone get a shot off.
That's it. That's it. It's over. Montreal won. They cleared it. Game over. Go home, Vegas. Go back to your cars. Drive back in that 116-degree heat and have a beer when you get home, because you just lost. Oh, and look at the fans. They're so mad. Meanwhile, they couldn't score on them. I told you they wouldn't blow it. Up 3-0. They win it 3-2. They got it done. And, of course, Vegas is starting fights now on the ice. They're so mad that they lost. They don't know what hit them. They thought that they were going to sweep this series and that it was going to be an easy bit of work, and they were going to the Stanley Cup Finals. Nope, no problem. And now at the end of this game, I don't know what the hell's going on in the ice right now, but the game's over. Montreal won 3-2. It's over. No one's going to do anything. There's not going to be a fight. There's not going to be anything. Montreal won. They just won home ice. They're going home to Montreal to the Bell Center. I'm telling you, Mafia. Tonight gave them a huge boatload of confidence moving forward. I think Vegas is in trouble going to Montreal the way they played tonight. Montreal learned one thing tonight, Moff, and that's that they can beat this team by pounding them into submission. They beat them with physicality. They beat them with checking. They beat them along the walls. They beat them everywhere. I just want to look at, I have to see it for myself. They got outshot. But they out-hit them 53-45. I am telling you, they won the faceoffs 58-41%. Vegas had two power play goals. They gave up no power play goals. They only had they had two penalties in the game. They blocked 24 shots, and they didn't turn the puck over. Vegas did 10 times. So I thought Montreal won the game with physicality. Flat out physicality. They out hit them. They dominated everywhere on the ice. The walls, the corners, behind the net, in front of the net. There was never, in my view, a player for Vegas in front of the net the entire night. They cleaned out that crease like a spring house cleaning, and that was it. And you give that guy Price that kind of protection in front of him, he's already a brick wall, let alone if you have to go through two brick walls, which is what they did. They put up another brick wall in front of him, and he's already a killer. And that's it. 3-2. Montreal wins it. I gave you the puck line today on Coast to Coast Sand. Grabbed the 1.5 on the puck line at a good price. And I also said I was scared to death. I lost the bet on the money line. But I told you today, I go, I'm scared to death to bet on Vegas 3-1 odds tonight because of Carey Price. I cannot lay that number. It's just brutal. I was scared to death to lay that, because that's how good he is. And they won the game because of it. So there you go. Now you go back to the NBA game, and the Clippers were down 5 at the half, and now they're up 2. So how about this? In the first half, the Jazz hit 17 three-pointers, and they only led by 5, and now they're down 3 with 8.5 left in the third. Now, obviously, this game is not going to stay this way. I mean, it's going to swing like waves in the ocean. All I know is they were up 5 at the half on 17 threes. When you hit 17 threes in the first half and you only lead by 5, is that not a problem, Mafia? I mean, you hit 17 threes, you should be up by 15, 20 points.
You should. I mean, the big thing for them that first half was Spider Mitchell wasn't doing anything, and he really hasn't done anything, you know, yet either. He's still 10 points right now, but on 3-7 shooting, he was 2-3 to start the game, and through most of that first half, really didn't do much. And then now he's not hitting right now. He's, what, 1-4 since then? So that's a big thing for them, is he has to get going. He can't, you know, sit back and let these guys do everything themselves. You're not going to win that way. You are the main guy. Paul George having a great game. I mean, we talked about how him and Reggie Jackson have to step up. You know, Paul George gets a lot of crap for being, you know, playoff P, where he doesn't win at all on any team. he's taking the reins right now, saying, listen, I can win even with Kawhi not here. He's doing a great job. You know, Reggie Jackson's doing okay. He's only got 10, but, you know, Marcus Morris is the one who's really stepped up big time to help out and back him up without Kawhi. So you really need more as a fighter right now. He needs to take this game over. I'm not saying take all the shots and not do anything, but, you know, Bogdanović hasn't hit a three in the second half yet. These other guys are doing okay. You know, Clarkson's been kind of dormant as well since they got back out of the break. Mitchell needs to take over and get these guys going.
Well, I mean, Clarkson's having a good game. He's got 14. They're a couple minutes into the, you know, there's 8 minutes left in the third, so he could easily go over 20. He's got 14 now. I think that the key for me is what I'm seeing is that they have done a great job guarding Mitchell and not letting him kill them. He's hit three threes in the game. That's it. He's hit three threes and a free throw. So he's got 10 points, and that's just not good enough for a guy that's had 45-point games in this series. All I know is when you go 40-plus and now you got 10, there's a lot of people that bet on him to go 40-plus tonight, and they have shut him down. That's just all there is to it. And then when you look at Paul George, you can say whatever you want about him. People in general say he's overrated, he's this, he's that. Literally, Kawhi and George, the highest scoring tandem in the league in the playoffs, at 49% of their buckets come from those two. Kawhi's not playing tonight. Everybody knew what PG had to do, and he went out and he did it. He's got 26 and 10 boards. He's 10 of 15 from the floor, 2 of 4 from downtown. That's all you need to know. He's got 26 and 10. He's already exceeded expectations. That's a huge game for anybody. You go 26 and 10 in the playoffs, I don't care who you are, that's a great game. And it's only 4 minutes into the second half. I mean, this guy could have 40 when this is done if he goes off. He could have 50. Bottom line is, if he keeps shooting, he's 10 of 15. If he keeps shooting like this, anything's possible. Anything is possible. So I think he's lived up to expectations. Everybody said he had to step his game up to a level he's never gone to before. The reality is, and this is what's crazy about George, I want to show you. Obviously, in this game, 26, 10, 2 dimes, 1 steal. The last 10 games, he's averaged 19, 7, and 4. And then against Utah, he's averaged 20. 7 and 4.5. And then on the road, he's averaged 24, 6.9 and 4.8 in terms of rebounds and assists. Now, in the postseason, he's averaging 24, 9. Regular season, he's 23. So he's taking his game to a whole new level from 23 to 20, from 23 to 24. And in his career, he's 20. So 20 points on average. Now listen, every game they play, Leonard and George score over 20 points. Every game they play. Every game they play. So if you look at his games, these are the last few games. All right. Game 1, 20 points. Game 2, 27. Game 3, 31. Game 4, 31. Tonight, 26 already. So Mafia, where's all this talk about Paul George sucks? Because anyone that thinks he sucks, actually, they suck. They suck for saying that he sucks because the numbers I just gave you are staggering. Guys don't play their entire career and average those numbers in those first 4 games. And now in the 5th game, he's got 26 already. This guy is a rock star, and people just don't like him for whatever reason, but every night he produces. He's over 20 every single night. He's over 24 every night. He's 31 and 31 back-to-back. He's going to go over 31 tonight.
And Scott, you know, we look at the numbers too, a big thing, not just him and his scoring, but wasn't this Utah team, I know that changed this, you know, the last year and this year, they got more offensive, obviously, because their previous, you know, incarnations didn't work, but this was a team that was built on defense, right? You got the Defensive Player of the Year and Gobert, right? Why the hell are you giving up 56% from the field and letting them go to the line all these times? They're not getting to the line themselves. They're only 3 of 7 from the line are the Jazz. You got to attack the basket. Go at them. Get these guys in foul trouble. Get yourself to the line. Get easy shots because right now that's what they're doing. They're 10 of 12 from the free throw line. you're letting them shoot too easily, and you're letting them get to the line. They got to play much better defense if they want to get in this, because there's no way you should be losing the game when you're shooting almost 60%.
Well, you know what's funny? They're both shooting so well. The Clippers are shooting 56%, 45% from downtown, and the Jazz are 55% and 48% from downtown. So they're both shooting lights out in this game. There's no doubt. And it's, you know, looking to me like a crazy ending to this game. It's, you know, when both teams are shooting this well, it's crazy. Now, they just called a tech, I think, on Clarkson. And he's still arguing with the ref. It is a tech on Clarkson because he shoved Batum in the face. And all I know is he's still arguing it, and he's still arguing with the ref and Batum, but he did it. Like, I saw him do it. Like, what world? You know what it is? And I guess this is true in every game, everywhere, no matter what level. No one is ever guilty of a foul ever. Ever. Me, nobody. No one's ever guilty of a foul. Every whistle ever, you, me, them, it doesn't matter who it is. Whenever there's a call against you, people just don't agree with it. There's not one player in the world that thinks they ever commit a foul. Every time there's a whistle blown, the player that gets called the foul on disagrees with the call. Have you ever seen a guy not argue the call? Every call. Every call, I'm not guilty. I didn't do it. You're crazy. Meanwhile, we just saw him shove him in the face, and he said he didn't touch him. I mean, Jordan Clarkson's drunk if he thinks that wasn't a foul. I mean, honest to God. So it's a 6-point Clipper lead with 7 minutes to go in the third. The problem for the Clippers is there's all the time in the world left in this game for the Jazz to come back and beat their ass and get all the calls. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. By the way, Paul George, who everybody says sucks, I just gave you all his numbers, and now he's 31, 31, 30. Tonight he's got 30, and there's still tons of time left in this game. And they're up, whatever, 5. They should be up 9. He blew off a shot. He tried to make a pass in the lane, and he had an open look for an easy floater. He's got to keep shooting. You can't trust anyone else on that team because nobody can hit a shot. My God. All right, Philly's up 2-0 on the Dodgers in the fifth at Chavez Ravine. Giants up 10-2 on the Diamondbacks, bottom 5 in the Bay. Twins up 7-1 on the Mariners, bottom 5 in Seattle. Nats beat the Pirates 3-1. Red Sox 10-8 over the Braves. Yankees 3-2. Cole beat the Jays in Buffalo. Cards 1-0 over the Marlins. Cards win it 1-0. Reds 2-1 over the Brewers, Tigers 6-5 over the Royals, White Sox 10-8-7 over the Rays, Rockies sweep the Padres 8-7. That's embarrassing for the Padres losing those games to Colorado. Flat out embarrassing. A's beat the Angels 8-4, Indians 8-7 over the Orioles, Mets and DeGrom beat the Cubs 6-3. DeGrom got hurt in that game again. That's 2 games in a row he's had to leave the game. And the Astros 8-4 over the Rangers. Is DeGrom okay, Mafia? That doesn't sound good. What are they saying? A shoulder?
Shoulder tightness. Yeah, he was mowing them down, put them all three down. You know, perfect 3 innings, 8 strikeouts. But he had to leave with shoulder tightness.
He's throwing the ball, in my opinion, too hard. I mean, I think everybody's talking about him throwing 100 miles an hour every time he goes out, every pitch, that he's throwing this amazing 100-mile-an-hour every single pitch, like hundreds of pitches in a row over 100 miles an hour. And I think he's actually blowing his arm out. I think he's blowing his shoulder out. And I think all the injuries are coming for DeGrom because he's throwing too hard. Enjoy the rest of this Clipper Jazz game. It's going to be a great finish. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 on Coast to Coast. Good night.